Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back at 34 after. Thank you very much for staying with me. We're going to make it worth your while, too. Wayne Cruz and I will. Wayne is an old friend of ours. He's the director of technology studies at the Cato Institute, and he's one of our top technology experts, especially with regard to public policy. Wayne Cruz, welcome back to the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have
congratulations.
You back.
Congratulations to you. I heard you got a new voice award. One of the leading broadcasters.
Yeah, Talkers Magazine put me on the heavy 100
list. That's right, like
the
top 100 list.
For the second year. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. A lot of my friends have emailed me back when they saw the press release, and they thought maybe it was all about weight gain because the name of the title of the group is called The Heavy 100. And I think I may have mentioned that I suggested to Talkers Magazine that on behalf of the ladies, that they might want to change the title from Heavy 100 to Radio Gods and Goddesses. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that would work. that might work, because otherwise you're the anti-Atkins. And
that's right.
That's the wrong thing to be in this day and age,
that's
I guess.
Right. But I appreciate that, Wayne. Let's talk about cyber terrorism. And I'd like to break it down into two ways. One I'm going to call commercial cyber terrorism, and the other I'm going to call... You know, I'll let you give us the title for that. But there are, you know, I don't want to dilute the term terrorism at the expense of doing that. I guess I should say, I'm going to say that to tell our audience that spam, in my opinion, is a form of terrorism, and viruses are a form of terrorism, and that's one level at an individual level. Then there's the other level, which is the infrastructure terrorism and that sort of thing. But talk to us a little bit about some of the things you've been working on.
Okay, well, just so you know, last week we hosted an event on the West Coast in Palo Alto with The Economist magazine on cybersecurity. We had Microsoft, eBay, and VeriSign there. The Internet Security Alliance spoke, and I spoke on this issue. Basically, what the concern now is in the new era we're in, that terrorists some of the same parties who attacked us on September 11th could potentially attack our critical infrastructure, you know, the power grids, water systems, air traffic control, things of that sort. A lot of the security experts these days are saying, well, you know, it's not terrorism if your computer, if your email gets clogged up, if your computers don't work or they shut down. But what the concern is not so much that a terrorist attack gets launched through cyberspace, but that a cyber attack can complicate a physical attack. If you could imagine September 11th, when also cyber terrorists might have taken out the air traffic control system, so they couldn't have ordered the planes down.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Or shut all the cell phones down.
Exactly. Like now, on a more commercial, now that's the fear of cyber terror, and all across the spectrum of computer experts, there are different opinions on what's possible and what's not. Generally, it's thought that where bad guys can get into computer systems that control electrical grids or water systems or sewer systems or things of that sort, generally it's insiders, because those control systems are often proprietary and they're not hooked up to the Internet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the insecurity of the Internet. But the thing we're definitely facing right now is cybercrime, the kind of thing you're talking about where, you know, the bad guys are sending viruses to us. There's a new one called FatBot that collects the cookies that that PayPal puts on your computer, so it tries to crack into your accounts that way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the email spam we're getting now resembles hacking more than it does commerce, because it contains a virus file or it's just set up in order to help launch future attacks. So, and these new viruses have cost over the past months tens of millions of dollars,
right,
according to a lot of the latest research. So the question is, what do we all do about it?
Mm-hmm.
There was just there's several new coalitions that have formed on dealing with the cybersecurity problem. Whether it, regardless of the scale, I mean, whether it's going to be potentially a cyber terrorist attack,
right,
or just more of these efforts to grind commerce to a halt or to spread viruses or to shut down websites by targeting them with denial of service attacks.
As we go to the break in a few seconds, let's remind ourselves and everybody that of the definition of terrorism. It's creating chaos. Terrorism is creating chaos. And sometimes it involves people dying, but sometimes it doesn't. But either way, it's creating chaos. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about this, including what can be done about it. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Wayne Cruz. He's with the Cato Institute. Back 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Mr. Joe Cocker in the background, rocking and rolling. Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's a rock and roller too. He's with the Cato Institute. He's the director of technology studies there at Cato, and we're talking about terrorism, cyber terrorism primarily. And you know, Wayne, you were talking about coinciding cyber terrorism with the classic form of terrorism, like some kind of a physical attack. But you know, I think that you know, you're right about that, but I'm not so sure that they even care that much about it being coinciding with a physical attack. I mean, I think while we're watching the airports, they're going to go do something else, you know, and again, all you got to do is create chaos.
Well, that is the fear, and they are. You can expect there already has been earlier last week, but there'll be more hearings on Capitol Hill about this. The question now is, now that the government has put out its report on national strategy to secure cyberspace, the question is now what's going to be done, and they're debating regulatory measures. You know, does the government have to step in and try to do something to rein in all this chaos you're talking about? Or are private sector incentives going to end up ultimately doing the job and doing a better job than government? Now, you know Cato's views on that kind of thing, that you know, government has its protection role as far as national security, and in that regard, it has a role to play in the cybersecurity debate. But just as we have government protection, you know, private sector also has its own security responsibilities. In other words, we have the police, but we also have private security guards and barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
So the private sector has a significant role to play, surely the more important role to play, because the latest figures, there's a report put out I don't remember which subcommittee it is, but there's a report put out in one of the government reform subcommittees on the government's performance with regard to security. And even the Department of Homeland Security got an F on securing its own networks. Now,
wow.
This is a report that came out in December. So despite all this problem and all this potential chaos, government doesn't even have its own computers, its own systems in order. But I think what you're seeing as far as individual computer security and corporate enterprise computer security, you're seeing a lot of things happen. You're seeing companies like Microsoft start doing automatic updates of security software. Email programs are being changed so they won't simply launch a virus unless you've authenticated it being done. Companies that can't afford to hire security personnel are farming out that function,
right,
to so-called security outsourcing to companies like Symantec or Counterpain. You're seeing new industry practices standards being put together by companies, and you know, businesses are looking for certification for their cybersecurity, and even eventually to be able to get insurance. In other words, companies want to be able to buy insurance in case they do suffer a breach. And the way to do that, the way it's emerging in the marketplace, is they're having to adhere to strict standards in order to qualify and get lower premiums. So that's the kinds of market pressures you see taking place to deal with this problem. But the root of it all is, we've talked about, you know, when we've discussed spam, the root of all these problems on the Internet is basically it's a giant network. We're trying to do a lot on it, but at the same time, there's no good system on it for authentication of who it is you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as there's...
You mentioned not the 911 commission.
Yes.
I really am concerned that this 911 commission being conducted during a presidential election year is becoming, and it's going to continue to become more of a blame game than it is something that will find out a real solution that we can address some issues. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, I am a little bit. I mean,
let me just stick this in. The commission that investigated the Pearl Harbor attack, whether
right.
we could have known anything about that before or not, didn't happen until after the war was over.
Right.
And
you need that objectivity.
I don't know. Maybe if something could be learned this year that would protect us, you know, I say, right, let's not wait until next year. But if all we're going to wind up with is a blame game, then to me, what we've done, we're playing politics with our lives and our security.
If the idea is just to look for a fall guy, that's not going to be very fruitful. What is fruitful, though, is, you know, we've talked before about a project the Pentagon was trying to put together called Total Information Awareness. In a lot of ways, what has emerged, not from the latest commission findings, but from a long time ago, is what the government really needed was partial information awareness.
Right.
All we needed to know was that the INS was sending out new visa certifications to the hijackers at the schools where they were taking the flight lessons.
Right, right.
You don't need to data mine the public.
And all they needed to do was to listen to their people in the field.
That's right.
Who were telling them these things. I mean, we already had those. We had the information. We just weren't managing it very well.
So, knowing those things and knowing that we already know that a lot of the root of the problem was the lack of information sharing, and you know we want to know who is responsible, but sure, I mean, pointing it at Rice or Clark or Bush or Clinton, you've got to solve the problems, but we already know it's an information sharing problem.
When we come back, Wayne, I want you to talk to us about how we can protect our systems, our small business systems, from cyber terrorists and from just troublemakers like spammers. Right after these messages, it's 10 till. We'll be right back with Wayne Cruz. He's with the Cato Institute, and that's Cato, C-A-T-O, .org. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Wayne Cruz is our guest. He's the guy that folks that reports to us a number of times during the year on technology issues, especially with regard to public policy and especially with regard to cyber terrorism and that sort of thing. Your 10,000 Commandments report is going to be out soon, isn't it, Wayne?
I do that every year, and I expect in a month or two, I'll put out the new edition of 10,000 Commandments, so we'll get some kind of idea of the trends and
tell
costs
us a little bit about
numbers
what
the rules.
Remind us what that's all about.
10,000 Commandments. A lot of think tanks in Washington look at the federal budget, you know, the tax and spending side of the ledger, what the government's spending, what the deficit is, what the national debt is. 10,000 Commandments kind of looks at the hidden costs of government and looks at the numbers of regulations that the different federal departments, agencies, and commissions are imposing on small and large businesses. And plus, I report in their numbers of rules that impact small businesses and things of that sort. So it kind of gives a little snapshot during the year of the regulatory state.
And as you have done in the past, you're going to release that information first on my show, aren't you?
That's what we'll do.
Yeah, that's coming up about a month or so. Wayne, talk to us about what we can do in our small businesses to protect ourselves from cyber terrorism.
Well,
whether it be the big ugly kind or the day to day kind like spam and viruses.
Well, there are a couple of good websites. One is GetNetWise, and if GetNetWise.org. But also, if you go on to any of the security websites, they can give you updates. But unfortunately, it's just the typical reminders. You have to have firewalls, you have to have virus scanning software, and you have to update it all the time. Now, some people think that's enough, and even a lot of software makers people think that's not enough, and even a lot of software makers think it's not enough. So it's being basically the culture is changing so that the updates are more automatic and it's not just reliant on individuals.
My software updates automatically.
That's what you want it to do. And see, the reason security issues like that become a political issue is when you're running large networks on a large public internet, on a large public internet, one company's mistakes or failure to secure its systems can ripple down and impact somebody else.
Right.
Now, the politicians like to treat that as a market failure and say, well, that's the reason the government has to step in. I'm not willing to do that. I think there's a history of the internet being an open network, and we kind of bought into a system where everybody trusts everybody else, and it turns out really not to be that way.
Right.
But the culture is changing. We're demanding more authentication. The software makers, the ISPs, are responding and coming up with new ways of certifying who it is online.
But it has taken a toll on commerce because these filters are filtering out good stuff.
That and the loss of communications through spam and accidentally losing something through a spam filter.
That's exactly. I mean, today, when you send somebody an email, if they don't get back with you, don't assume that they're ignoring you.
Right. It could very
either they've accidentally trashed it themselves, or it was in the middle of so much stuff that they didn't see it, or it literally didn't get through the ISP's filters.
That's right. And even if a person doesn't screen it themselves through their own spam software, the administrators at their company might do it,
right?
And you lose it unintentionally. So
absolutely.
But that's another aspect of a really complex debate. There are ways, and you and I have talked about challenge and response email systems. To guarantee you get what you want,
right?
And they have their up and downsides. But things are changing so that you basically are after trusted senders. You want to know who it is that you're dealing with, and eventually, if the technologies develop as expected, you'll be able to prove who you are. And the people who can't prove who they are won't be able to create havoc online.
Right. Absolutely. Wayne, quickly, we got less than a minute, and if this is not enough time for this, I want you to come back another time and talk about this. But the issue of the government using technology to protect us from terrorists is a real sticky wicket these days, isn't it?
Yes, we should do another show on this, because basically there are a number of programs, terrorism information awareness, the computer-assisted passenger screening at airports,
right,
things of that sort, that have a lot of implications, not just for security, but also for privacy, too. And there's a debate over whether the programs go too far.
And people worrying about whether the government is going to have too much information about us, where they can flex these muscles, these technology muscles, a little farther than they should.
This
is something that's going on right now, folks, and we don't have time to get into it, Wayne, today, but I want you to come back and help us to sort this out a little bit later on.
Well, let's do that. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you, Wayne. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, with the Cato Institute. That's cato.org. Go there, and you can find all of Wayne's stuff there on their website. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.